God's word from Isaiah 21 is our passage this morning. Isaiah 21, verses 11 through 17. Please listen as I read God's word. The burden against Duma. He calls to me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning comes, and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire. Return, come back. The burden against Arabia. In the forest, in Arabia, you will lodge. O you traveling companies of Dedanites, O inhabitants of the land of Tema, bring water to him who is thirsty. With their bread they met him who fled. For they fled from the swords, from the drawn sword, from the bent bow, and from the distress of war. For thus the Lord has said to me, within a year, according to the year of a hired man, all the glory of Kedar will fail. And the remainder of the number of archers, the mighty men of the people of Kedar, will be diminished. For the Lord God of Israel has spoken it. The start of Isaiah chapter 21. The prophet records God's judgment against the nation of Babylon. We noted when we considered this passage 2 weeks ago that the New Testament quotes the prophecy that Isaiah gives concerning Babylon two times in the book of Revelation. It says there, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. We noted that in bringing judgment against God's enemy, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that we learned something very important, that God communicates assurance to us as his people. It communicates assurance knowing that we belong to him. In the language of Isaiah 21, he calls us his harvest, his threshing. And so the judgment that comes against the enemies represented in Babylon is a deliverance so that we can be assured of God's love. Verses 11 through 17 continue on the heels of that. And in fact, you'll notice some similar themes in these two prophecies. They continue with further words of judgment against the nations that surrounded Jerusalem. In this case, they are the nations of Duma and Arabia. I'd like to begin just by telling you a little bit about these countries and then get to their message. Duma is most likely one of the clans of the nation of Edom. And Edom descends from Esau, Jacob's brother, son of Isaac. When we look throughout the scriptures and we find messages about Edom, you'll find that later that there are some very hard words that God brings, a very scathing message and a harsh judgment against Edom. Not harsh in the sense of it being unjust. Edom participated helping out the invading armies to attack Jerusalem. And then when Jerusalem fell, they threw a party. And so there are very strong words that God brings against Edom. But that doesn't seem to come into play here when God considers Duma. So we think that it's probably one of the smaller clans of Edom, and that there was something specific that the Lord had in mind for them. And we'll come to that message in just a moment. Arabia stands for a large region that had lots of nomadic tribes. Some of them are listed here as the tribes of Dedan and Tema and Kedar. Well, not all of them did. Some of these also descended and were relatives of the Israelites. Some of them descended from Ishmael and others from Esau. So here are some other people groups that are close relatives to the Israelites, but also receive a word from the Lord being outside of that specific word that God brings to the Jews. If you read further also in the scriptures, you'll find that Assyria is also mentioned elsewhere as sometimes bringing tribute to the Jews. And it seems as if they faced the invasion of Assyria that all of the nations in this area faced at this time. As has been the case with previous prophecies, you will note some similar themes, and I'm just going to touch on them very briefly this morning so that you would see them in their context. But I'm going to highlight something else today. Some of the themes that come up that you should note from this passage is that God does indeed hold all men everywhere accountable. I've mentioned that these are not Jews. They are relatives of the Israelites, but they are not God's specifically covenanted people. And we've noted before that God is not just concerned with the Jews, but He is in fact concerned with all people everywhere. And you can see these words as indicative of that. God has something to say to Duma and Assyria and Babylon and all of the other nations that we have been treating in the book of Isaiah. He judges them and holds them to account. He holds them to account of the law that is written on their hearts. Romans 1 says that it is plain what man should do, but in unrighteousness, men suppress the knowledge of God. So Paul argues that Jew and Gentile, who did not have the Ten Commandments, even Gentiles are held accountable by God. And that theme can be seen here. At the same time, we can also see that God holds out His hand in mercy to the nations. God was merciful not just to the Jews, but here we'll see that there is a warning and an invitation that's given to Duma and Assyria. So God is not just giving salvation to the Jews. It is much broader than that. It was administered through the Israelites, but God's intention and God's mercy is extended to the nations. We noted that in the case of the words of God to the Moabites, that the Lord gave them refuge in Jerusalem at the foot of the King of David. We saw that he was calling them to Jesus Christ. In a similar way, we'll find that Duma and Assyria are called to find mercy in Jesus. And finally, a theme that has come up before, we would note that this is a message that is directed not just to Duma and Assyria, but it's written to the Jews. And so it has the important point of giving assurance to God's people, like we noted with Babylon. Assurance that the Lord is alive and well, that He is active in this situation, that He is ruling over all things. In this passage, while noting those things, and they will come up again, I want to highlight something that we have a contrast between Duma and Assyria. I'm going to call it God's timing. In the one case, we'll find that for Duma, that there is something of an imprecise word and seemingly a waiting upon God, whereas with Arabia, that there's an immediate word given. In 1 year's time, this is going to come to pass. It's that contrast that stands out in this passage in my mind this morning. And I want to lay it in front of you in a way that urges you to wait upon the Lord with active and urgent expectancy. Let me say that again. We're going to highlight this difference in timing that God gives with Duma and Assyria so that you would be encouraged to wait upon the Lord with active and expectant urgency. So let's look at how God treats Duma, first of all. Duma is given two short verses here in this passage. And they are somewhat cryptic. They are somewhat hard to discern because it is a very short word and we don't have any history around to tell us what happened to Duma like we do with Babylon. It's also a little bit ironic because the name Duma means silence. And I wonder if God chose Duma because of that name, silence, because of the way he seemingly treats Duma. We don't know much about the country. We don't know much about its history. But the Lord takes notice of it and has a word for this country that had been reserved until now. And it seems as if God has been in silence towards this clan until someone comes from them to ask a question. What happens here? Well, somebody comes from Duma and calls out to the watchman. Picture in your mind, if you will, a walled city. And what is it that a watchman does? Well, on top of the walls in the middle of the night while everybody is asleep, what is the watchman to be doing? Is he supposed to be asleep? Of course not. His job is to make sure that no enemies come and climb up over the wall while he's on guard. He's there to protect the city, right? And the watchman is there standing guard, staying awake, looking out over the walls to see if any enemy is approaching. Well, here comes somebody at night. Here comes somebody from the clan of Duma, and he calls out, "Watchman! Watchman, what of the night?" And there's urgency in this question. It's repeated twice as if the one coming to ask needs to know what's going on. That would be an appropriate and typical question that you would ask the watchman. How goes it tonight? Is all well? And the watchman gives his reply. What news? The morning is coming, but then the night follows. If you will inquire, return, come back. What the watchman says to Duma is that there is a morning coming. That there is some type of relief or peace that will bring to an end the present night. Isaiah is probably using an allegory here to describe the difficulty that all of the nations were under. They were under the night of some invading army, and the Assyrians especially were pressing on every side and on every nation at this point. And so there's some answer that's given. Peace or mourning will come, but that morning is not going to last. Night will come again. Probably referring to the trouble that would rise up and maybe even overwhelm the clan of Duma. The nightman gives instruction then to the messenger from Duma. If you will inquire, return, come back. To Duma, God extends not his silence, but he extends this invitation, an invitation to seek the Lord, to inquire of him about their condition and about their deliverance. He affirms, this messenger from Duma, that they have done the right thing of coming to ask of the watchman. And more importantly, he affirms that they have come to ask of God what is going on. And I say that because the Old Testament often uses the title of watchman to describe the role of the prophet of God. It's the prophet of God whose job it is to be alert, to be awake, to be watching for enemies, to be warning the people when those enemies rise up. And so, as the messenger comes from Duma to appeal from the watchman about their condition and about their direction, God affirms that they have done right. They have come to Israel, where the living God resides. They have come to the prophet of God to inquire of him what the Lord's message is for them. And he invites them to come. He extends mercy to them who are outside of his covenant people. And that mercy is extended to Duma, to come, inquire. It's a message that is rich with gospel implication. All throughout the Old Testament, men and women are called to the covenant people, to the covenant nation of the Jews, to find where salvation would come from. And God says it would come through the seed of Abraham, through the king that sits on the throne of David, through Jesus Christ. And so to Duma, God says to come. What's interesting in this passage, and why I say timing, is that it doesn't appear like anything drastic or dramatic is going to happen immediately. In fact, there's some sense of an imprecise timing here. Morning will come, but the night will also follow. But we don't know exactly when that's going to happen. And it's very different from the word that God gives to Arabia. By contrast, God gives a very precise warning to Arabia. Within 1 year's time, this is going to come about. And as we've noted in other passages, there are dire warnings that are given. Instead of living in your homes, you will be forced to take refuge in the forests. You will flee the threat of war and get out as a refugee, taking only the clothes on your back, not having food or water. So one of the instructions here is to help those refugees with food and water. We also see that there's within that command for relief that the desperate situation is such that the people of Arabia will look to their brothers and sisters, their other clans, and flee to them to find refuge. But Isaiah says that though the Arabians might be skilled in their warfare, even calling attention to their archery skills, that they would not prevail. They would fall before the enemy. And this is so sure that Isaiah gives a time to it, within 1 year's time. It's also so sure that twice Isaiah says, "The Lord has spoken. The Lord God of Israel has said this." So here again, let me highlight the difference in the way that God has dealt with these two nations. To Duma, the messenger had to come and inquire. To Duma, there is an imprecise message that's given. There is warning contained in it, and a warning that has substance enough that they can act. But the timing of it is unknown, and in fact, they would actually go through apparently some period of peace, a time in which they might think, "Wow, I'm glad we got through that." and now we're all okay, right? To Arabia, though, God gives a very definite warning with a definite timing about when God would act. If you might think of it this way, you might think of it as, on the one hand, a weather alert where here in Oklahoma we might be under a tornado watch. And there might... that's not happening today for those of you who are scared of tornadoes. I saw some heads go up like this. There is no tornado watch today, but in Oklahoma there are tornado watches, right? And it's a warning that though the sky might be bright and clear, that the conditions are favorable and you need to be careful. You need to take precautions. And that would be representative of how God dealt with Duma. To Arabia, the siren sounds. And we know what to do when the siren sounds. You get your camera and go out and take pictures. No. you take shelter, right? You take immediate action when the siren sounds. And that's the contrast that seems side by side here when we think of how God dealt with Arabia and Duma. And it leads us to ask the question, how is it that we should respond in each circumstance? In each case, but have you see that the response is the same? There is urgent action called for. When the siren sounds, the urgency is very apparent. The soldiers are at the gate. You need to take action immediately. And you have to do it because you know the threat that's there and you can see it. And the action needs to be taken immediately. But when the threat may be less well defined, or when you're in a period of peace and the warning of God comes, it's a warning still to urgent action, an urgent appealing to the Lord and waiting upon Him. One commentator says this especially about Duma, and I found it very pointed. He said that the Lord's program is carried forward not only in great dramatic events, but also in the regular forward moving of time, in huge periods where nothing seems to be happening at all. Isaiah imposed on his inquirer the hardest discipline of all, the discipline of sticking it out. So on the one hand, we have an urgent, dramatic event, God's judgment through the invading armies. On the other hand, we have apparently a stretch of time where it appears like God is not doing anything. Where it appears that everything is well and at peace. And in both cases, God calls us to urgent action. That's a theme that runs throughout Scripture. We would talk about it in the language of the Psalms as waiting upon the Lord. Remember our Psalm of the month last month? My soul in silence waits for God. We found that wasn't just a sitting back and twiddling of the thumbs. It was a waiting that has anticipation and an earnest seeking after God. It's waiting upon Him to act that is an expression of faith that we belong to Him. And so that waiting on Him is something that confesses our faith and trust. Other language that we would see in the rest of Scripture has the idea of seeking God's face. Psalm 27 says that this is where I will go to inquire. I will go to God's house. I will seek the Lord and seek His face in the midst of whatever circumstance I find myself. In the Psalms, it's often in the midst of trouble that we seek Him out. But to Duma and to us, God says, if you will inquire, even in this time of peaceful mourning, then do so. Inquire. Seek the Lord. Inquire of Him. God invites us to pour out our hearts before Him in prayer. When we speak of inquiring of God, of seeking His face, we're speaking of that sense of taking the burdens that are on our hearts and laying them before the Lord. There's a personal application that is important in this light. There's the personal application that each of us, as children of God, are granted access by Christ to come and to ask Him of our situation. We're given the opportunity as His children, when our hearts are troubled, when decisions loom, when it appears that the Lord is silent, we are given access to God through Jesus Christ to go and inquire of Him. In fact, that personal application is so strongly put that the watchman says, return, come back. It's good to hear when applied to Duma as a people that needed to come to Christ. And it's good for us to hear. It's good because our tendency is to go and to look elsewhere for solutions to our problems. And here the Lord invites and the watchman impels us to come to God to find solution, to return and come back. There's that personal duty to watch and pray that Duma and Arabia present before us. There's also a duty to inquire. And here I'd apply it not just to inquiring of God in prayer, but the Lord honors this coming to the watchman. So let me put it this way. The duty is that is described here is the duty of inquiring of the watchman. And who are the watchmen? Well, in the Old Testament, God gave priests and prophets to instruct and to warn, to watch out for the enemies. In fact, He holds them accountable. When they do not do that, the watchmen are rebuked for their sins. So too, today, God has given watchmen to His flock. He has given elders. He's given pastors and teachers that would guard over the flock that He has purchased with His own blood. In Acts chapter 20, God speaks to the watchmen. Keep watch over yourselves and over the flock that God has entrusted to your care. Be shepherds of the church of God which He has bought with His own blood. Just like a king standing in the midst of his city and dispatching his guards, so the Lord Jesus Christ has given a charge to you elders, to me as elders, to watch over the flock that He has purchased, to stand guard, to give care to the flock. There's a duty for elders then to watch and pray, to instruct and guard, to battle for the flock that Christ has purchased. There's an implied duty for all those in authority as well. I'd encourage parents to think about the duty that is implied to or given to you by Christ as well. I just mentioned that in passing. I'd urge you as parents to think about that, to be watchmen on the walls of your household, to be guards that the Lord has given for the care of your children. There's also a duty implied for the members of the congregation to inquire of your elders, to apply yourself to their teaching, to take notes of the manner of their life as an example that God has set before you, and to seek out their guidance and respect their counsel. Also in the New Testament, the words of watching and of guarding come up. I read from Acts 20 already that says, keep watch over yourselves and the flock, the charge to elders. In Hebrews chapter 13, Paul says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Now, this verse can be read and said in a couple of different ways. It can be read in a dictatorial, you better do this. But in the context of what God says to Duma, I'd have you see it as something different. Remember that the Lord gives invitation to this country to come and inquire. And in a similar way, I would have you see these verses in Hebrews as something, as an invitation of God to come and inquire of Him and to use one of the means that He has given of the elders of the congregation, to use that means to seek counsel, to find the voice of the Lord in the midst of your life, whether that life be a life that is in the throes of battle and in the darkness of night and you need direction and protection, that's a time to call the guards and to ask for help. Or whether it be a time of quiet. You think that God is silent in your circumstance. It's a time for you to go and to ask of the Lord, to use the means that He has given, to inquire through the elders of God's direction. Or maybe it may be a time of peaceful, serene, where you're seeking God's direction. So too, the Lord has given watchmen to help in those circumstances. So you may be in the midst of a sunny sky, or you may be in the midst of hearing the siren whistling in your ears. The example of Duma and Arabia encourage you to an urgent response. In both cases, to inquire of the Lord, to return to Him and seek His face. My prayer is that as you consider how God dealt with these two nations, and as you consider His timing, that you too would be motivated to this urgent waiting upon the Lord. Let's bow before Him in prayer. O Lord God, we wait upon You. We ask that as a congregation that You would be leading us and guiding us. We pray in the midst of a new year that You would be giving us wisdom as we set paths and direction for our congregation. We ask individually, and Lord, we pray that You would hear our voices this morning as we lift them up to You. We pray that those concerns and those burdens that we have, that You would answer as You have promised. I pray that we would hear that invitation that You give and the urgency that comes that we would seek you, that we would find in you our peace and our answer. We pray, O Lord, that you would shepherd us, that you would use the means of the elders of the congregation, the private prayer, that you would use those to shepherd our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I quoted from Psalm 27, and I'd like to sing that together. You'll note that it is in the house of the Lord where the psalmist goes to inquire reverently, and the expectation that he has to meet with the Lord. Psalm 27, selection A, will be our closing psalm. Let's please stand to sing.